Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. Welcome. Glad to have you with us today. We're going to talk today about John 1, 29 to 42. And we're in this season of Epiphany. And we're going to, one of the passages that popped out at me was where Jesus says to John's disciples, "Come and you will see." And that we're going to talk a little bit more about that. First, I'd like to have a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about our topic for today, read some scripture, have communion together, and we'll close with the benediction. So that tells you how we're going to do stuff today. So let's pray together first. Father, we're just so grateful we can be here together. We're grateful that we can sit at Jesus' feet and maybe take a closer look at who he is. And when we get to see him more clearly, maybe learn a little bit about ourselves and about you. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, you would just make Jesus manifest and glorify the Father. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. While I'm writing my sermons, I'm usually like a week and a half, 2 weeks ahead. So that means as I'm preparing a sermon for Epiphany, I'm still in the season of Christmas. So listening to Christmas music sometimes while I'm doing Epiphany, but that's not real bad because Epiphany is almost like we're awakening to the incarnation, discovering God has come in human flesh. And what does that mean for us? And we have that eureka moment where we, wow, you know, this is who he is. This is who Jesus is. One of the songs that was running through my head then as I'm preparing this sermon is, "Oh, come all ye faithful." And one of the verses goes like this: "Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." In this hymn, it so powerfully expresses what we're doing during the season of Christmas. We're coming once again to the manger in that timeless way. And we're gazing upon the child laying there, this child that is so unique, this child who is God's gift to humankind, God's gift to all of us. And we're kneeling in adoration and giving thanks because this is the Son of God. God, the Word of God, the Son of God, set aside the privileges of divinity to join us in our humanity, to set us free, to heal us, to make us whole, to bring us home to the Father. One of the passages for this week is, for this Sunday, is Isaiah 49, 1 to 7. And what we read in Isaiah's prophecy, which is in the Old Testament, are some prophetic words which actually point us to this very moment. For example, in Isaiah 49:1, toward the end of that verse, it says, "The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named me." You know, when we read the story about Jesus, we discover that God sent an angel and told Mary she was going to have a baby and she was going to call his name Jesus. And he told Joseph this as well, that he would be Emmanuel. This is a powerful story that we want to pay attention to. Isaiah in verse 5 says, "The Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him." We learn a little bit, you know, initially what's being written here, Isaiah's talking about himself, but prophetically, he's talking about the Messiah, the Christ, the one who would be the suffering servant, the one who would bring Jacob back to him. Jacob meaning our ancient nation of Israel, which was God's chosen people, through whom the Messiah would come. In verse 6 of this passage, he says, I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Do you see what he's saying there? This Messiah was going to bring salvation, not just to God's people, but to the whole earth. Now, Isaiah wasn't the only one who predicted the coming of the Christ, of Jesus. There were many prophets, if you read in the scriptures. Even King David talked about the Lord who said to my Lord. Huh? There's a Lord who talks to the Lord? How can that be? But there's a lot of prophetic things regarding Jesus. And so during this time of year, as we move from Christmas into Epiphany, we're going to take some time to prayerfully and reverently observe this child. Who is this Jesus? And in observing this child and looking upon Jesus anew as the one who is God in human flesh, who began his very human life as a child, dependent upon his mother and his father, and growing up the way we grow up and doing the things we do. And this Jesus, as we gaze upon him and ponder this reality, we allow ourselves to be moved into gratitude and praise to worship. You know, Paul, in the reading for today in the New Testament, said, and this is 1 Corinthians 1:48, says this little thing. He says, the grace of God, which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you're not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul is talking about there is he's saying Jesus did everything that's necessary so that when he returns in glory, you will be there with him, blameless. How can you be blameless? How can I be blameless? Well, Jesus took care of it. He took care of it because he was God in human flesh. How amazing. So the Apostle Paul is calling us to a deep appreciation of this gift. Looking upon the Christ child, gazing upon Jesus and who he is as God in human flesh, we discover that in the incarnation, Jesus came to live a truly human life, to forge within our human flesh the capacity, the ability to live in right relationship with God and therefore with one another. We lack nothing because of him. Because the thing is, God made us for a relationship with himself, but we chose a different direction. We wanted to decide for ourselves, to know what we didn't need to know, good and evil. But that didn't astonish God. He had already planned to bring us to be with him forever, and he knew what it would take to do that. And it was the coming of God in human flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now in our gospel passage in John 1:29-42, we read, and I'm reading the New American Standard Bible in all these passages. The next day, John the Baptizer, this is a prophet right before Jesus came, saw Jesus coming to him. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he, on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me." Now, what is John saying? Well, when you read the Gospels, you discover that John was born 6 months before Jesus was born. They were related. How is it possible that Jesus existed before John then? What is John saying? He's saying Jesus is God, maybe, possibly. Yeah. So John goes on and says, "I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water." So God gave John the baptizer a ministry, and the purpose was, when the time was right, that Jesus would be revealed for who he was. So in verse 32 of John 1, it says, "John testified, saying," John the Baptizer is different than John who wrote the book, just a side note. "But John the Baptizer testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit." So John the Baptizer had the unique experience of baptizing the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit, not with water. He was going to baptize the Messiah. How very interesting. John goes on to say, "I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." John just put it right out there, who Jesus was. And then John the apostle writes, "Again the next day, John the Baptizer was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God." He was really into this Lamb of God stuff, wasn't he? "The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." Come and you will see. Does that resonate with you at all? Come and you will see. "And Jesus said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. What happened as a result of them taking the time to stay, to come and see, to come and be there with Jesus a while, and to gaze, contemplate, listen, interact, sit at the feet of Jesus? What happened? In John 1:40, it says, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. You know, when you say Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus the Messiah. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. And so then we begin to read the story in the Gospels about Peter. one of the disciples or apostles. So in this story, we hear John the Baptizer saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now remember when we started this discussion, we were talking about coming to the manger, seeing the Christ child, gazing upon him. But this statement John makes, he uses the word behold. Behold meaning pay attention. And in the Greek, that behold is to mean what I'm going to say is important, so pay attention to it. You know, fix your, contemplate this, get your gaze focused upon this. Pay attention. So behold. Behold what? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What about Lamb of God? What's the deal with that? But that's important. The Lamb of God, that has to do with sacrifice. Has to do with laying down a life, sacrificing one's life, a lamb. But this isn't just any ordinary lamb. This is the Lamb of God. So from the beginning, Jesus is destined as the suffering servant to be a lamb offered to God. How interesting. This is something about who Jesus is. And what does John the Baptizer say? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sin of the world." Let's use our little behold there. Pay attention. The sin of who? The next door neighbor, the dog next door. Who's he taking the sin away? The sin away of the world. And that doesn't really leave anyone out, does it? So this is one of those epiphanies, a eureka moment. When we pay attention to who Jesus is, whoa, who is this? This is the one unique Son of God who joins us in our human flesh to live a truly human life, to die a death at our hands, and yet to rise again, bringing all of us home to the Father in his humanity. And sends the Spirit so that we can all participate in his own personal relationship with the Father and the Spirit. He brings us into life from death. And so I think what these disciples did when they saw this one who was the Lamb of God, they did the right thing. What did they do? They followed Jesus. They began to go after him and to follow him. And we want to pay attention because Jesus is gonna say to us, "What are you looking for? What is it you are seeking? What is it you're looking for?" And if we're looking for the right thing, we're looking for Jesus, for time with him, for growing in a relationship with him, what is he going to say? Come and see. Come and see. Spend time with Jesus. Join with him. Follow him. Read about him. Listen to him. Sit at his feet a while and read his word. Listen and talk with him. Have a dialogue where you talk and you listen. Practice the spiritual disciplines like prayer, meditation, fasting, fellowship, going to church. Yeah. Meet with other Christians. Be discerning in that. But grow in your relationship with Jesus. And as we seek his face, as we follow, as we learn, as we behold Christ, we'll see who he is. And in the process of seeing him, we'll begin to see ourselves. And that may not always be a pleasant process. But the good news is that is why Jesus came. We're forgiven, we're accepted, we're beloved, we're included, we're a part of his family. He wants us to share in that life now and forever. And he's done what it takes to get us there. And he says, come, be a part of this. And part of that coming and seeing, we join with spiritual community. And we do that through baptism. Now, we're not baptized into a church. No. We're baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You'll find that in Acts 2:38 and in Matthew 28:19. We're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into their relationship. But we join a congregation, a church, so that we can be with other brothers and sisters and grow up in Christ. And grow together. Be in fellowship with one another. And the initial joining together, we do that with baptism, but we also express our sharing in Christ in his death and resurrection. Once we are baptized, we do it through communion. And that's why we come together weekly and we do communion together. We, at Our Life in the Trinity, I like to do an affirmation. We affirm that we died with Christ, that we rose with Christ, that we share in his glory now and forever. He's given us his spirit, and we share life with him now and forever. And so, I'd like us to take the communion together today and be reminded that it was his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. He included us in his personal relationship with the Father. And he offered himself freely for that, to give us freedom from evil, sin, and death. And he did that joyfully and thankfully. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this gift you have given of your body and your blood and your life, giving us our lives, true life in you. In relationship with the Father and the Spirit. We thank you for this and receive it in your name, Jesus. Amen. He offered the bread and he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. We thank you, Jesus, for offering yourself for us. And he offered the wine and we thank you, Jesus, for this gift. We pray to you for it. Now may God our Father and his Son Jesus Christ confirm you to the end as you live in fellowship with him in the Spirit and eagerly await our Lord Jesus' revelation when he will present you blameless in his own day. May God keep you throughout this week, and hope to see you again here at Our Life in the Trinity. God bless you. Take care.